Hello, everybody. It is Tuesday night. Got started a little early there. Hello, everybody. It is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. It's 8 o'clock in the evening, and that means that it is time for the Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford. Let's Talk Sports on WDCU, Daniel Clark Network Radio, on Blog Talk Radio on the Internet. An exciting day in sports. It's an exciting time of the sports year because all of a sudden football has started just all over the place. And we got the colleges getting ready to go. We got the pros in camp. Everybody's thinking about football, talking football. And I tell you something, Coach Clark, it's an exciting time of year.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Well, been waiting. I'm ready. Nothing against baseball. I love baseball as well. But football's my sport. So I'm real excited about the way things are panning out. Hopefully we'll get a chance. We'll get the chance tonight to talk about the possible SEC and versus the ACC and the Belt Bowl held here in Charlotte. I'm hoping they can finalize that deal. That will be exciting. We probably need to start working on tickets now if they do that.
You know, we do need to do that. But before we get to football, I have to tell you what is the big news of the day in badminton. Former doubles partners exchange blows. A fight broke out between two former badminton doubles partners from Thailand in the Canadian Open in Vancouver. While they were changing ends in the doubles final, one fella jumped at another fella, chasing him onto a neighboring court and punching him several times, including striking him with his badminton racket. And apparently one of these guys needed two stitches. And the good news is that that is going to be investigated by the Badminton World Federation. They're launching an investigation in that. And, you know, Coach Clark, we're going to have to keep our eyes on that to see how that turns out. And because, but, you know, Ricky, it is amazing to me some of the ridiculous sports stories that come out. You know, also on the ridiculous side, I mean, the 2011 National League MVP is suspended for the rest of the season. You know, Ryan Braun, who was the 2011 National League MVP, out for drug use. And, you know, just another stain on it, a stain on baseball, Ricky. I mean, and I hate to say this, every time you turn around, baseball has something going on in that regard. And it makes me lose interest in it because the stories about what players are doing off the field inappropriate is becoming the bigger story than what's going on the field. And to say that it's not hurting the game would just be downright ridiculous. On tonight's show, which is brought to you in part by the good people over at Player Sporting Goods, that's 5737 North Graham Street here in Charlotte for all your sporting goods needs. Feel free to go in there and visit those folks. You know, our friend David Butler has his NSA World Series at Colonial Williamsburg this week, Ricky, and I tell you, that's a big event for them and a big event for David, and I certainly hope that they're getting good weather up that because, you know, Lord knows we've had our share of problems with the NSA tournaments, getting all those in. If you want to call this show tonight, you can call in on that Player Sporting Goods call-in guest line. That number's 888-689-4061, and we're hoping tonight that in a few minutes, head coach Joe Evans of Independence in his first season is going to call in and be our special high school coach guest. But until he does, Ricky, I see that Clemson is a big favorite to win the ACC this year. And Miami is expected to win the other division, the Atlantic Division. Clemson well ahead of everybody else. Clemson is picked first, followed by Florida State, followed by North Carolina State, then Wake Forest, Maryland, Syracuse, and Boston College. Interesting to say Syracuse, part of the ACC. And in the Coastal Division, Miami's projected to win that over Virginia Tech, with North Carolina being third, Georgia Tech fourth, Pittsburgh fifth, Virginia sixth, and Duke seventh. You know, the thing about it is, Ricky, the first part of the year, Georgia Tech comes out with that wing T offense, so hard to defend. Most schools have a week to get ready for that multiple offense, and so they're going to factor into the mix. And there are a lot of people that think North Carolina is being shortchanged just because of the pace at which they play. And, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see how the ACC shakes out. Other news of the day, and I want to clear something up because I heard some conversation of P.J. Harrison's legal problems have been dropped. His charges have been dismissed. And I want to be real clear about one thing. P.J. Harrison was charged with no operator's license, and he was also charged with misdemeanor possession of marijuana. Now, both of those charges have been dismissed. He showed up in court with his driver's license. That caused the NOL, no operator's license, to be dismissed. And he also attended a class, a drug assessment program, which led to the dismissal of that those marijuana possession charges. And in that regard, Coach Clark, I'm going to tell you, this young man is not being treated any differently than any other kid in the state. As far as how the legal end of his case has been handled, that is perfectly consistent with how they do things. And if that happened to my son, that would be the exact same result. If it happened to your daughter, Coach, and she did those things, took a license down to the courthouse, attended that class, those charges would have been dismissed. So to the extent that people are saying that in that regard, P.J. Harrison was treated different by the court system, I can tell you that's just not accurate. Now, he does have the remaining issues as to some of his conduct and his associations with people charged with felonies, convicted felons driving around cars that have been rented by third parties. But to the extent I heard today on the radio people saying that P.J. was being treated differently and getting preferential treatment, that is just simply not accurate. And anybody familiar with the court system will tell you that's the case.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that something is going this way. It has a bright future, Joe. I hope he can get himself together.
Well, he does have a bright future. He's got a scholarship to one of the great universities in the country. You know, I mean, the University of North Carolina, one of the, a lot of people refer to it as a public Ivy. It's a great school, and I certainly hope that this young man gets his act together, because the publicity about him of late has just been too negative. Now, Coach, I have not seen what's been going on with the Bobcats and their young players in that summer league. Can you bring us up to speed on that, or have you not been following any of that lately?
They dropped the last game they played. Oh, I think about maybe 7 points, but they've had pretty good success during the summer league. You know, what we're hoping is that will carry over to the regular season. And I know that's a huge difference, but they're still playing. And if the league didn't feel like that would help the regular season, they wouldn't have a summer league. So I heard a lot of people say, oh, they're playing summer league ball and they're being successful. They have a winning record in summer league, and you know, that just won't carry over to the regular season. And I could not disagree with it more. If there's a reason that those kids out there playing summer league ball, is to get their bodies inundated to playing 2 and 3 times a week, which is what they do in the NBA, and playing 80 some games, which is what they do in the NBA. And it also gives the coaches a chance to work on their skill set. You know, there's a huge difference in practice. You can't duplicate a game time experience at practice. You just can't. So I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna say the NBA know a little bit more about it than what us normal citizens know, and that is, if it wasn't beneficial to the team during the regular season, they probably would not be playing and risking injury and those type things to all the millions and millions of dollars they have tied up in these young athletes. So I'm hoping, and I'm almost sure this is going to carry over into the regular season. So I'm expecting to see a better Bobcats squad out there on the floor come regular season.
Well, I certainly hope so. And you know, before we get to that, we'll see the last of the BCS system. Next year they're going to go to a playoff system. And, you know, Coach, I've heard playoffs debated for 25 years, and I'm probably the only person in America who is not particularly thrilled about a playoff system. I think they're playing too much college football. I think they should be playing less. And, you know, but nobody cares what I think but me, but the NCAA will go to that four-team format starting in 2014. How do you come down on that, Ricky? What's your feel about a college playoff?
But you know what, Joe? I'm not entirely against it, because every year when the season is over, there are four or five teams that you and I and everybody else felt like should have been at least in that number one spot or in that number two spot to claim, well, you know, We're the best team in the nation, that type thing. And I think with the playoff system, you can do away with that. You that's a whole conversation we won't be having on the radio. No one will be having. They'll have to find something else to talk about. And secondly, you know, at the end of the day, it's about money, about revenue. Imagine how much more revenue having a playoff system is going to generate for everybody, the school.
And, Ricky, that's why I'm opposed to it. Because today, and let me tell you why I am opposed to it. It's for that very reason that you just said. It's about the money. I see that, you know, Urban Meyer had to suspend four players or sanction four players. One of them was actually kicked off the team for assault on a female. Another one had an infraction, and he wasn't allowed to go to media day. Boy, big punishment there. But, you know, Coach, as I look at the results of how conference have done in the BCS playoffs, or not playoffs, but the bowl system, you know, I see that the ACC has not had the success that some of these other conferences has had. But at the same time, Coach Clark, you don't hear some of the same controversies coming out of the ACC schools that you do from some of these other places with the conduct of its athletes. And I'm just convinced as more money goes into that system, you're going to find more and more people with an incentive to be one of those four teams for that money draw that you're talking about. And I think you're going to find more and more people getting right to the edge of that line and crossing that line as to what is permitted and what is not by the NCAA. And I just think the money temptation is going to be too great. And, you know, you played college football. I didn't. So you have a lot more standing to talk about the demands on a college athlete than I can talk about. But, you know, Ricky, I remember when it was a 10-game schedule, then it went to 11, then 12, then bowl games. And, you know, some of these teams are playing 14 games. And, you know, football is a unique game. You don't have a single football game played that somebody doesn't get hurt and somebody's career doesn't come crashing to a halt in just about every game that's played. So those are the reasons that I'm opposed to it. And, frankly, the money, the kids who are out there beating the heck out of their bodies, they're not getting any of that money. And so,
you know, and Joe, I'm just blown away that is the best that we can do. And, you know, having played college sports, you know, there are the cafeteria close at 6:30, 7 o'clock at the latest. You know, if you're a young athlete, and you know you've just got out of practice, you run in cafeteria. You go do your skull session. By the time you get out of that skull session, everything's closed. Okay, so if you don't have money in your pocket, then you're just hungry. for lack of better words, you're just hungry. You have to have money to do your laundry, for toiletries, toothpaste, a little, you know, a spending money for a haircut, you know. I'm blown away that these universities make millions and millions of dollars, yet it's against the rules for you and I to walk up to a kid on any college football team as a booster and hand him $50 and say, you know, go get yourself a good meal or go get yourself a haircut. You know, at some point, the university system and the NCAA has to do a better job, you hear it all the time. There's no quick fix to it. Nobody said it would be easy, but it has to be done, and it has to be done fair. It's not fair for these universities to make all of this money. We're talking about a playoff system now, going into it next year. Who's going to make the bulk of that money? The university's going to make the bulk
of that money.
Well, the super conference. A little bit of
will
trickle down to the athletic department, but the athletic department cannot put money in a child's hand, and I think that's the biggest problem with all of it. They're basically pimping these kids, and has made it illegal for anybody to help them out financially. You made it illegal for anybody to help them out. You can undo it. They can. The NCAA can undo it.
Well, you know, Ricky, they keep talking about college sports being a business, being big business. Well, if it truly is, and if we're just going to accept that it is indeed a business, then with every business, there's a cost of labor, you know? And okay, these kids are getting college tuition paid for them, and I'll have to admit, having gone through three kids in college at the same time, that can be a little bit pricey, but I think you're right, and the good news for us right now is we are joined by head coach Joe Evans of the Independence Patriots. Coach, have we got you online with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Joe.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say congratulations on becoming the head coach at Independence. My feelings towards Independence are no secret. In my mind, it is the school in North Carolina, but that's just because I went to school there. That's because I played there, and it's because I coached there. I wasn't a very good athlete, but had a pretty decent run in coaching. And, you know, Coach, you know, Independence is, Independence is about almost 50 years old, closing in on about 47, 48 years. And in that time, the first head coach out there was Buster Ledford. The second head coach was a fellow named Gene Robinson. Then a fellow named Alan Sitterly came along. Then one of the great coaches that I know, Rusty Jester, took over that program. Then Tom Knotts. Then Bill Guiler. Then Tom Knotts again. Then Bill Guiler again. And now Joe Evans. So, you know, Joe, you're in some really good company with some just outstanding coaches. You're on the line with one of Charlotte's probably premier middle school coach, a fellow who could coach at any level, Ricky Clark, James Martin Middle School, who's won that conference about 13 out of 15 years.
Yeah, and, yeah, I know. I used to teach at Coolwood Middle School. I know they used to whip up on everybody.
Well, he's had some great moments. Joe, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on this show with us tonight, but tell us a little bit about Independence football. What have y'all got going on over at the Big Eye this year?
Well, right now, this week we're in a dead period. I kind of work from now, and I'll work back a little bit. We're in a dead period this week, as are all the schools in North Carolina. We got the coaches' clinic. We're leaving. Me and some of the coaches are going up tomorrow. Last week we played in the first annual UNCC Charlotte Shootout out there at their facility, which is a beautiful facility. And we finished second. We went 5-1 on the day and 7-7. We lost to Mallard Creek in the championship game. They have a great team as they usually do. But we're working hard on the practice field, working even harder than that in the weight room. I'm a big weight training guy, as is Coach Hal Brown, who's been there since, you know, when Coach Knotts first got the job. Hal Brown actually coached me in high school at West Mecklenburg. So he and I are working together in the weight room. The guys are out there. We got over about 110, 115 guys every day out there working out. JV program looks really good. We're just continuing to build on the success that Coach Knotts and Coach Guiler and I remember Coach Jester. I actually played at West Mech, so I played against Coach Jester. I was actually on the team for West Mech that beat Independence. That was my senior year when CJ Leak was the quarterback. I'll take you back a little bit. but we're just working hard, man. I mean, I'm a hands dirty type guy. I like to get in and mix it up with the guys. I'm not a figurehead, and I'll get in and I still coach the quarterbacks and I train them, and the guys are getting after it. I mean, they're working hard, and you know, they know that, you know, we could have a special season this year.
Well, Coach, you know, I mean, it's tough to follow Guiler. It's tough to follow Knotts, and the expectations at Independence have dropped off somewhat over the past couple of years with the success that, you know, they've had right down the road from you at Butler High School. You know, I mean, what pressure are you feeling going into that job following, you know, names that are, I mean, you know, two state championship coaches? I mean, how hard is it now to be the head coach at Independence?
Well, you know, it's like I talked to a reporter from the Observer the other night when he called to do our preseason thing. And, I'll tell you guys the same thing I told him is, you know, if I go into it trying to be Bill Guiler, trying to be Tom Knotts, and I'm doing myself a disservice and I'm doing the kids a disservice, I'm going in, you know, doing a lot of business as usual that Coach Guiler and Tom Knotts had. The same traditions that are there are going to be there. I mean, you know, the gold helmet and the green eye are going to stay the same. The cannon's still going to be out there blasting on Friday nights. I mean, I'm a big tradition guy. I'm a young guy, but I'm a real big guy for tradition. There is some pressure following those guys because they are such just world-class, you know, Hall of Fame coaches, let's be honest. Both of those guys belong in the Hall of Fame. But it's one of those things where I have to keep a level head and keep my expectations on a, you know, to a daily basis. You know, I have to. What am I going to get? What am I going to get out of these guys on a day-to-day basis? Whether it's, you know, a mental aspect of it, a physical aspect of it. You know, there is some pressure, but you know, I have to keep it all in perspective that, you know, this is high school football, and I'm going to push these guys to be better men and better brothers and better husbands.
Okay, Coach Clark.
Yeah, how hard is it? And we struggle with this on a middle school level. How hard is it making that transition with middle school players on the defensive side of the ball? You know, we atypically in middle school, we throw, there are teams that can throw the ball, but for the most part, the Northern Conference and well, all four conferences in CMS, they're pretty much running conferences. So, you know, how hard is it to go from most of these kids come out of middle school playing a 5-3 defense or 6-2 or 6-3, some version of that?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, most of these teams and most of us, you know, we don't have the luxury of playing a 4-4, or we don't have the luxury of playing a 3-4. You line up in a 3-4 in middle school, and you know we'll put 200 yards on you.
Oh yeah, it'd be a quick finish, won't it?
yeah, and you know, and I was thinking that has to be huge to make that transaction with your ninth graders, because they have to learn at some point. And you know, if you sit in a 6-2 or a 5-3 in high school, they'll pick you apart. How hard is it to get those kids where they need to be in changing that defense?
Well, I tell you what, it's pretty difficult, because when you look at it, for some reason, when the kids come in ninth grade, no matter what size they are, you ask them what position they play. Oh, I play defensive end. You know, because they want to be the guy that goes and gets the quarterback on that, you know, six times a game that it gets mm-hmm. thrown in middle school. I coached middle school at Northeast Middle for 3 years before I came to Independence, just as kind of like a break between my jobs. But it is really tough, because you get these guys and you're trying to line up in a 4-3, and you know, you're explaining an A gap, B gap, you know, this technique, get in the bubble. I mean, my linebacker coach was gone for a week on vacation this summer, and I was coaching linebackers, and I told this kid to get in the bubble, and he turned around and looked at me like I had six eyes on my head. And I'm like, you have A-gap to A-gap, son. And he was like, I have what to what? You know, and it's like a lot of times it's just, you know, coaches in middle school. I mean, you guys up at Martin do a fantastic job of coaching your guys. You know, that's one of the biggest things that helps us at Independence is the kids that come from the youth leagues. The kids that come from the Mint Hill Mountaineers and the kids that come from Mint Hill Athletic Association, they have great, great coaches that teach them the basics and the fundamentals. And the defensive part of it, you know, you take a summer just to teach half of these kids how to line up. I got a sophomore linebacker that can, you know, just knock people's lights out, but he's out of position all the time. I mean, I couldn't get him on the field last year because he couldn't get lined up.
And, you know, Coach, your point about the lingo is huge, because, you know, you talk about the bubble, you talk about a skinny post, you talk about the one technique, the three technique. And, you know, that's not a language that we use in middle school. At Martin, one of the reasons we've been successful is because Coach Clark is determined to keep things simple. And our goal at James Martin over the past 8 or so years has really been to try to teach kids to sustain drives. You know, I mean, everybody loves the big scoring play, the long play, but at the end of the day, if you're going to be a successful football team, you got to start at your 20 and be able to run a 10-play drive without making mistakes. Because, you know, mistakes, if you want to get right down to it, where everything is relatively equal, it's who makes the least mistakes in a football game. And so we have gone out of our way to try to, you know, simulate game situations in our practices where we get the kids used to going from one play to the next, moving the ball. And yet, I will tell you, I agree with Ricky. The hard part is, you know, I mean, you were at Coolwood. You know, everybody stacks 8, 9, 10 people in a box against us. And mm-hmm. we're not doing a good enough job in middle school, in my opinion, in teaching base defenses. And we just can't. And it's, you know, when you and I were playing – actually, when Ricky and I were playing, you're considerably younger than we are. You know, we had JV football, and then we had varsity football in a junior high school. And so we actually had an extra year before kids went and played JV football at a high school level. And, you know, Coach, are you finding that your ninth graders are a lot younger than they used to be? Or are they more mature? I mean, how are kids coming to independence in that age group that, you know, Ricky and I are so familiar with, being that eighth grade to ninth grade student? And how are they reacting being part of one of the state's established football programs?
You talk about their size. They are all over the spectrum. They are everywhere from the tiniest of the tiny to some kid that comes in and I'm asking him where he played his last 2 years in high school, and he tells me he's a freshman and this kid's massive, you know. And when they come in, their mental acuity of the game is small. But the main thing about it, when they're coming to independence, they think, oh, I'm an independence. And the hardest part for me is to have these freshmen understand, you know, you haven't done anything at independence yet. You know, you don't even have a helmet. You don't even have a locker with your name on it. You know, so I try to get that out of them real quick when they come in and say, oh, well, I'm at independence. And you know how it is. I'm at independence. There's a lot of kids that are going to come out just to say that they played football at independence.
And Ricky, you run into the same thing at Martin every year with those sixth graders, now seventh graders. They show up and they think that just because they're going to wear a navy blue jersey, a navy blue helmet and a white pair of pants, they got this game of football knocked.
Yeah, stand on the sideline, drink all your water.
Yeah. At Independence, they drink all the Gatorade, and the guy comes off from rundown on kickoff team, and he ain't got no Gatorade.
He has nothing left.
Yeah.
We often look at football teams and what we try to do, and I know that. In order to be successful on our level, it's what we have to do. You guys have four grade levels to choose from. Well, we only have two, seventh and eighth, period. But with us, we try to make sure that we are running back and tight end heavy. Are you headed in that direction? And we just feel like if I'm running back and tight end heavy, I'm also linebacker heavy. I'm also DN heavy. Is there a big difference in how you approach the high school game, especially being in one of the largest conference in the state? Is there a certain position that you make sure that you're loaded up in?
The way we kind of try to work it is, We will find the kid and take him and put him at the best position for the team. And if it dictates, you know, and if you guys have seen me the last 2 years, you know I want to throw the ball. I want to sling it all over the place. But, you know, when I got a 220-pound running back, you know, that's going to Wake Forest, and I got two capable, very capable backups behind him, hey, if we have more running backs and it dictates that we need to throw two tight ends in and run the ball down the field and not throw a pass, hey, we'll do that. And it just depends whenever you get the kids. We have a kid that plays DN for us. His brother played at Butler. The kid's name's Kima Bell. Hawatha Bell was his older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Kima's about
now, Hawatha was a man cub.
Do what?
I say Hawatha was a man cub. Boy, what a specimen,
man.
He was.
Man, he was just – well, Kima's about 6'3", 6'4", about 200 pounds as a sophomore, and he plays DN for us. And when we first saw him, we were like, man, this kid's a tight end. And we put him at tight end, and he was just lost in space. And about two or three games into the season, we put him at defensive end. And, you know, I had to take him out of scout defense because we couldn't get anything accomplished. I mean, as a ninth grader, he's just terrorizing. And I think when, you know, we try to make sure that we have a couple good quarterbacks. You know, I definitely try to make sure we have a couple good running backs. I like to have I'm a big Jimbo Fisher fan, and I like to have a big back. I like to have a scat back. I love having tight ends, especially ones that can block and get up, you know, get open in space and catch the ball. And, you know, kind of make a little name for themselves on that. But you know, I'm also a wide receiver guy by trade, so I love my wideouts. I love, you know, if I could have 600 wideouts and have the longest individual period of the day, I would.
Well, Coach, let me ask you this: you've been a coordinator, and all of a sudden you're a head coach. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, when I was at Independence, they didn't call us coordinators. I was called the offensive coach, and in the newspaper, their head coach said I had a very offensive mind. I didn't know quite how to take that. But,
yeah, it depends. If it was Guiler, then you just got offended.
Sure. But, you know, I mean, I never had to worry about punt. I never had to worry about extra point, any special teams. I didn't have to worry about the defensive side of the ball. Didn't care about it, to be quite frank with you. Mm-hmm. And the only time that I cared about it was when the defensive coach was telling me, slow it down because we're sucking wind on the sideline here, and we'd have to, you know, kind of go and slow the game down a little bit, Mo, just so that our defense wasn't juiced. But, you know, all of a sudden you've gone from being that coordinator to being the guy who has to deal with every phase of the game. I mean, how have you found that transition?
It's been, you know, it's obviously been a smooth transition just because of how Coach Guiler had kind of brought me along the past 2 years. You know, I made it when I got there my first year, you know, I was just kind of feeling my way around. And then the second year, you know, when Coach Guiler came to me and approached me about being the coordinator, you know, I saw this as a chance to move up, and he and I had conversations, and I let it be known, you know, to him that, hey, I'm not here for your job, but I'm going to go ahead and throw my name in the hat when you choose to retire. You know, can you help me out? And he did a great job of giving me some administrative duties, you know, kind of bringing me along. You know, they called it like a head coaching waiting thing. Who cares about that? But, you know, he gave me some stuff that really helped me. And, you know, he and I talk two or three times a week. I can call him about anything, and, you know, he'll help me out. And it is tough, though, I'll give you that, dealing with every single thing from the team store to football camp, to, you know, this kid's got to go to his grandparents for a week, and this kid's got to go here, and it is a big transition. But you know, the way I operate is I take it on a day-to-day basis. You know, I write notes about everything. I got a big calendar on my desk where if I talk to somebody and they say, you know, hey, my son's gonna be gone for a week on vacation, I'll jot it on my calendar and just kind of go. You know, I try to be super organized. You know, I try to be very organized and keep everything very, very straight and narrow, so I don't get caught up on myself. I try to stay out in front of everything.
Now, Coach, I believe 4 weeks from Friday you open against South Mecklenburg in a doubleheader game at Memorial Stadium. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It's actually Thursday, the 22nd.
Thursday, the 22nd, and yes, there's going to be a private school game. Lord, I don't remember who. I guess Christian
is
playing.
Charlotte
somebody.
Christian and Sun Valley.
Yes, yeah, Sun Valley and Christian will be playing to open the season, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, that game is going to be on the radio. It's going to be on 610 The Fans with T-Bone and Colin, who I think do a great job. And I really appreciate the level of attention that they're giving to high school football on 610. And, you know, and it's gotten – when I was a kid, the big storyline every week was what was going on in high school athletics. Well, now high school is usually on about the fourth or fifth page. And one of the things that Ricky and I are determined to do this year with our show is we want to make it more accessible to high school coaches, high school athletes. We got some folks working on web pages for us where y'all are going to be able to go online, give us the information so that we can let people know what's going on about Independence and other football. But now you open that game against South Mecklenburg, and tell us a little bit about the Southwestern 4A and how's that conference shaping up this year, and where do you see Independence in that conference?
Well, I mean, you know, to start off, I'll talk about the game first. We opened up with South, and Rocky White is their head coach. He actually gave me my first high school coaching job at West Mecklenburg High School, and he's a great, great friend of mine. He's a magnificent coach. We went from our first year going 1-10 to our second year going 9-3. I mean, we had just a huge turnaround. So I don't expect them to be down at all. I can tell you that. You know, the Southwestern 4A Conference, first of all, I'm glad that they let us keep the name through the realignment. you know, because I'm, like I said, I'm a Charlotte native, so, you know, I always remember the Mega 7, Southwestern 4A, and, you know, like I said, I'm a traditionalist, so I like that they let us keep the name. You know, we lose Providence, we lose South Mech, and we lose Audrey Kell out of our conference, and then we gain Garinger and Porter Ridge, and we're the only 7-team conference in the area. So we have a bye week built in. You know, I mean, you start at teams like Porter Ridge. I mean, they've been to the state championship game in the Little 4A the last 2 years. You know, they got some great players. Their fan base is just amazing. You know, they've got great hardworking kids. Just, you know, they got school support. It's a great. You know, it's just a great atmosphere. I went to one of their playoff games, I think, when they played Mooresville either a year or two ago, and the atmosphere out there was just crazy. So, you know, that we're actually their first conference game in the new conference. We play at Porter Ridge. I mean, that's going to be – it's just going to be bananas, I'm sure. then you go, you know, you go to teams like East Mech. Chris has got a good bunch of athletes over there. He's got a little bit of building to do. You know, I talked to him and – he said that, you know, he thinks they're going to be, you know, much improved from last year. You know, he's a very energetic guy, and, you know, he cares about those kids over there. So, you know, I expect them to be a lot better. You look at Rocky River, I mean, that was the best game of our season last year against them. I mean, we won, actually, on a kid dropping a two-point conversion at the end of the game. You know, we go drive down the field and score, get all the way down there, and, you know, we got like 50 seconds left on the clock. When we score, we go up, and we're like, all right, we got it. And then, you know, we tell the kid to kick it on the ground, and what to do, he kicks it deep. Sidney Lawson, probably one of the best return men in the city, and he runs it all the way back to the 50.
Yeah, so, I was at that game. That was a great game. It really was. It was back and forth.
Oh, my goodness. It was bananas. I mean, it was crazy. Then you go to teams like Myers Park, man, Coach Stein. I got a lot of respect for Coach Stein. I know he is a great, you know, great football mind. He's got the athletes over there to do it. You know, they got a great running back. They got a big old tall quarterback that's going to be back. And they've always had athletes at Myers Park, even when I was in high school. That was just one team, whether, you know, they'd look bad on film when I was in high school, and you'd look at them and be like, oh, man, you know, this is going to be a cakewalk. And you'd get out there and you'd get in a dogfight. You know, because they were so much faster than us and just so much more athletic. You know, then you look at teams like, you know, like Garinger. I know they're still building. Coach Austin, I think, is doing a pretty good job over there. I think numbers kind of hurt them a little bit the past couple of years. But from what I hear, their numbers are going up and they're doing some positive things. I think, you know, once you get some support, he can do some pretty good things over there. Then you look at, you know, of course, you look at Butler. And people, the thing that drives me crazy is people are like, oh, Butler's going to be down this year. They lost, you know, all these seniors. People don't understand. Coach Hales and that staff are great coaches. I mean, they didn't win a state championship just by throwing play cards out there and saying, you know, hey, guys, pick a play and go. I mean, they have a great staff and they got great kids over there. So, you know, anybody that thinks Butler's going to be down and out and, you know, starting the season 0-4, 0-5 is crazy. I mean, they got a tough schedule starting. I know they play Richmond Senior and Mount Tabor and some other schools. They got a tough schedule, but that's a good football program. You know, that's not, you know, they ain't no dead dogs over there. That's for sure. They might be a sleeping dog, but you just don't want to wake them up.
I think they're returning six starters off of that championship team.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying exactly what you just said, that this is the year to jump on. Like, mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if this is not the year to jump on them. It really might not be.
Let me tell you something about Butler. And this is true about Butler. It's true about Independence. It's true about Porter Ridge. It's true about James Martin Middle School. Mm-hmm. And that is that those are system schools. I mean, it's a process. And to be part of it is to be part of something truly special. And I'll never forget you know, about midway through that great state championship run, a high school coach asked me, so what is it that they do different at Independence that we're doing here? And this was a coach who had 6 Division I players out of 9 starters.
Yeah.
And I told this head coach something that he didn't like hearing, but it was the truth. I told him, at a school like that, a school like Independence, every jumping jack matters. Every practice snap matters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does at James Martin. I mean, there is nothing so special about the James Martin athlete, about the Independence athlete, about the Butler athlete, the A.L. Brown athlete, except that those kids show up at our place, they show up at your place, they show up at Butler. Those kids know what's expected. And if they don't know, they find out real fast.
Yeah,
that's the dividing line. It's about the expectations. You know, and I'll never forget something that Tom said, I guess it was Joe Cox's senior year at Independence, when he said that at Independence it was never the goal to be state champion. It was with talent like that, it was the expectation. And, you know, and Coach, yet I will tell you, I remember when we struggled to make first downs at Independence. I mean, I was brought in to jumpstart an offense. I was brought in to start throwing the ball. I played the first African-American quarterback in the city. And that young man, Eric Boyd was his name, caught a lot of grief because at that time that was not considered a minority position. That was a white boy position.
Yeah.
And yet when this kid went out and showed everybody how athletic he was, and, you know, and we started that with that JV team. As a matter of fact, the first Independence team to win a conference in anything was Eric's sophomore year's JVs. We went 9-1, and since then it's become a quarterback school. Which, you know, I mean, and you think about the names, you think about Independence, you think about quarterbacks, and who've you got over there this year, and what kind of prospects does that kid have? And talk a little bit about the pressure of being the quarterback at Independence High School.
Well, I mean, you know, I completely embrace the quarterback tradition over there. You know, I still see Joe Cox around, and I talked to him, and he actually came out a couple years ago and trained my QBs. You know, Chris Leak, obviously, I tried to get him to come out and work, but he's working at University of Florida with their football team now. But this year we got a kid named Kelvin Hopkins, and he was our JV quarterback the last 2 years. He lost, let's see, 2 games his freshman year and went undefeated this year as a sophomore, and came in the second quarter against Butler in the finale, the final game of the regular season, and just lit it up. I mean, he ran all over them. He threw all over them. Then it ended up starting the first playoff game against, I think it was Northwest Guilford we played, and I think he threw for 4 or 5 touchdowns, you know, moved the chains with his feet, then started the next week against Butler. I think in 2 games against Butler, he threw for maybe, I want to say, 500 yards, ran for probably 200. You know, just a
That's
great.
Not bad for 2 games.
No,
not
it's
bad
not.
For
I mean,
2 games at all.
Just in spot duty, you know, like 8-quarter spot duty this season as a sophomore, as a backup on varsity, I think he threw for 900 yards. I mean, he just, you know, and that was in 8 quarters. I mean, that's why he didn't play that first quarter against Butler in the finale, is he had used, you know, he had used 5 quarters, and we had to save 3, so I couldn't play him in the first quarter, and I played him second, third, and fourth to finish out his 8 quarters. He threw for almost 900 yards in 8 quarters of football. You know, so he's lightning in a bottle, man. I mean, he, you know, the guy from the Observer the other day asked me if I thought he was an Anthony Carruthers, and I said, well, you know, he's a short black kid. That's about it. he's a Kelvin Hopkins. I mean, he's just he's a great kid. You know, I don't ever want to compare a kid to another kid because they're all different, and even just a little bit in some aspects. But he's about 5'9". He's about 185 pounds. You know, I've worked with him since day one about quick release, getting the ball out, finding passing lanes. I'm like, hey, you know, you're a short quarterback. You got to find a passing lane. His pocket presence is ridiculous, which was something that he didn't have when he came in as a freshman. And like I said, I coach quarterbacks, and if you ever get a chance to talk to him, you can ask him, and ask any quarterback that I've coached since I've been there, how anal I am about quarterback play. I mean, if they take a false step, during an individual drill, we start the whole drill over. I mean, that stuff just goes, you know, so far with coaching quarterbacks. I don't want a quarterback individual to be just go over there and warm up your arm. You know, it starts from the ground and comes up. It doesn't go from the, you know, from your arm and go down. But he, you know, he can make every throw on the field. And he, it was funny, we went to camp, at team camp at Wingate, and we came back from camp, and, you know, I like to talk to the guys, you know, because they'll be straight up with you. You know how it is as a coach. The kids will tell you more than they'll tell their parents. And I just asked him, I said, what are your feelings? You know, I said, this is your team. What are your feelings? And he said, you know, Coach Evans, it really hit me at camp when we were there and we were going through, you know, 3-day practices and lifting and 7-on-7 and, you know, and all this stuff. He said, it really hit me that I was the guy, that I'm the quarterback at Independence High School. I said, well, what are you going to do with it? I said, are you going to let it, you know, shake you down, or you going to, you know, step up to the challenge? What are you going to do? And he said, oh, no, I'm good to go. And then, like, 3 days later, he goes out and just lights it up at that UNCC 7-on-7. I mean, so much that Coach Mullen, the offensive coordinator out there and quarterback coach, was like, who is this kid? I need to talk to him. I need to meet this kid. I need his game film. Like, it was all over. So, I mean, he's a great kid. He's like a 3.8 GPA kid.
Even better.
You know, that's the thing. You know, he wants to go to Air Force. He wants to go to the Air Force and play football and go through the Air Force. I mean, he's talked to Coach Brown about it. I mean, he sent his game film, and I sent some game film of him to Blaine Morgan, who's a quarterback coach at Air Force and played at Air Force, and he responded back, and he was like, I want to see more film on this kid. You know, he knows that there's another step, whether it be college football or just be going to college. And that's the thing that I like about it, is you get a kid that thinks that, you know, they can think on so many different levels, then reading cover two or reading cover four just becomes instinct, you know?
You know, Ricky, you think about that. Is that not a great thing to hear, that a young man who's an outstanding quarterback, getting ready to take over the helm of one of the premier high school programs in North Carolina with a 3.8 GPA at a hard school, wants to go to the Air Force Academy and play football there and serve his country? Now, that's the kind of young man that I think high school football should be and is about. And, you know, Ricky, we've had a couple of kids like that come through Martin, but I want to wish that kid the very best, because any kid whose ambition is to go to one of our service academies and commit to defending this country, now that says a lot about the character of that young man. And you know something, guys, in our game, character matters. You know, Coach Clark, you see at a middle school level, kids with character, they move on. Kids who don't have character, middle school's about as far as they go, you know.
They're wasting your time, really. They are, because on the middle school level, you know, it's the easiest thing to fix is their character. And if they refuse to allow you to help them, there's no reason they should be on anybody's court or football field, because it's truly a waste of time, and it's taking a position that another kid could possibly have. Because once they get to the high school coaches are expecting that those character issues be gone. And so, you know, we tell them, you know, we expect one thing out of you in the seventh grade. Your eighth grade year, those exact same qualities magnify. And if you if you come to us acting your eighth grade year the same way you did your seventh grade year, we can't use you. We don't care how good you are. We just can't use you, because that type of thing for football players and a football team is like a cancer.
Well, Coach, you know, funny you mentioned that. There's a young man who's an Ohio State fan who has cancer. And any time you hear about a young man with cancer, we all pray that God will help the doctors and the scientists, or miraculously help that young man find a way to deal with that disease. But he named his cancer Michigan. Well, the head football coach at the University of Michigan heard about that, and that kid, even though he and his family are big Ohio State people, are going to be guests at the University of Michigan at the Ohio State-Michigan football game. And, you know, there's so much that we hear, and, you know, we talk about it on this show, where athletes have gotten sideways. You know, hearing about a head coach doing something like that just makes you feel good about the game and why we do it. you know, hearing about this young man who has that 3.8 GPA and wants to, is proud to be the starting quarterback at Independence. That's what's special about our game. And, you know, Coach, we really appreciate you taking time on the night before you're going to the clinic. You know, before we let you go, though, tell us a little bit about your senior class, some of the kids that, whose names we're going to be talking about on this show and reading in the paper, seeing on Friday Night Football. Who are some of the kids to look out for? And where do you – what do you see as what this Independence team is capable of doing?
Okay. Well, you know, it's this senior class is really very special to me because their first year at Independence was my first year at Independence. So, you know, I kind of treat them like, you know, like my sons. I have a 5-year-old son and I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I treat all these guys like they're my sons, you know, whether they're a freshman or senior. But this senior class is very, very special to me. Some of the guys that you'll hear, obviously you'll hear about Isaiah Robinson, you know, big running back, just committed to Wake Forest. You know, he's a high character kid. He's not going to run his mouth. He's not a boisterous kid. But he's just he's a workhorse, man. He's so competitive and just such just an amazing, amazing kid. I mean, my wife told me, you know, he came over and ate dinner with a couple of guys one night, and she told me, she said, if that boy ever needs a place to live, he can have a place at our house, you know, because he's just that type of kid. Another person we have is Warpe Kofa. He's played varsity for the past 2 seasons. He's got some big-time Division I offers. He hasn't decided where he's going yet. But he's a big-time receiver, also a great basketball player, just a great athlete. You also got Chris Wade, who's going to play left tackle for us this year. He's already committed to Furman University. You know, but he, yet again, he's a 3.75 core GPA kid. Not the, you know, not art class and weightlifting and all that mixed in. This is core GPA.
Yeah.
And when he said something about, you know, Furman, you know, I'm an Appalachian State grad. I was brought up to hate Furman. And when he said something about Furman, I was like, if it's Furman or Wofford, you got to go, just because of the education. And
yes,
he's
absolutely.
Like, yeah. He said that's why I'm going. And we got Tony Adams, who's our center. He committed to NC State, I guess, a little over a month ago. Yet again, he's another, you know, 3.7, you know, 3.65 core GPA kid. His dad is the head wrestling coach at Boston University. Academics, when he transferred, and the first thing he asked wasn't, where's the practice field? He said, how are the academics at Independence? And
good for him.
I mean, you know, just great kid. And then we have a kid that transferred from Lincoln High School in Brooklyn, New York. His name is Jameek Davis. He plays wide receiver. He's about 6'3", about 200 pounds, can fly, can absolutely take the top off the defense. He's got probably, I think, 12 Division I offers. Great kid. I think he's still kind of finding his way in Charlotte. You know, he came out when we were at camp, and we're out there on the turf at Wingate University, and he's, you know, holding his shorts, and I walk over, and I'm like, Jameek, are you okay? And he's like, Coach, it is so hot out here. It's so hot in North Carolina. but I was like, hey, just suck it up and let's go. And he just stood up, and he's like, all right, I'm good. You know, just like a tough kid, just that, you know, just like a gritty tough. We also have another kid that plays running back for us, Brian Teeterman. You may have heard that name. He's a wrestler at Independence.
Mm-hmm.
He finished 6th in the state in wrestling this year. They did a bunch of stuff in the Mint Hill Times about him. But he's going to be Isaiah's backup, and he's actually getting some football interest from some colleges. Like, he went to camp at Furman the other day, and the coach wants to see more film on him. And, you know, we got a good group of kids on offense. We got some role players that fill in too. Defensively, we got the Boateng brothers. If you remember the Eugene Boateng, I think it was, played at Independence a few years back. His two little brothers are twins. One's Bennett and one's Bernard. And Bennett is a big D lineman. He's number 93. We call him Big Nasty because he always sweats. He's just always sweating and nasty. But he's a great three technique. He steps across and plays down the line, doesn't fly up the field. I mean, he's hard to kick out on the trap. You know, he's just a quality, hardworking kid. He was in my weightlifting this year, and I made him lift with me, and he may not have liked that too much, but he got a lot stronger.
And, Coach, for some of our listeners who do not know what a three technique is, what in the old middle school, junior high parlance, what would we call the three technique?
What would you guys call it? It'd be like a defensive guard or strong side tackle or I've heard it called about 12 different things before. I heard outside guard before. It's just the guy that's outside shade of the guard. But he's a prototypical three technique. He's getting some interest from like some A&T, Johnson C. Smith, some schools like that. His brother, Bernard, actually played D-line last year but was a bit undersized. So we just said, you know what, let's move him to Mike. Let's move him to middle linebacker and see how he does. And he just flies all over the field at Mike linebacker. I mean, it's just like, man, if we'd have figured this out 2 years ago, we'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a kid that I think is going to make a huge splash this year. His name's Chris Phipps. He transferred from – I think it was Hickory Grove. He played center at Hickory Grove, and last year was his first year as a junior with us. Really just was swimming upstream all year. But he's had a year to be in the program. He's had a year to train with us. I talked to him a couple weeks ago and asked him how he was doing, and he was like, I got it. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I got it now. He's like, last year I didn't have it. He said, I got it. And he's a big old kid. He's about 6'3", probably 215, 220, playing DN. He's getting some interest from some, Catawba, Lenore Ryan. I think he's going to sneak up on some people because people don't know who he is. And the first time he blows around the tackle and knocks some quarterback out, he's going to get a lot more attention.
Y'all really got it going on at Independence. We're about out of time here tonight, but I do want you to know, I got one thing to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Cut me, I bleed green and gold. Tell you the reason why. Been a patriot all my life, and I'll be one till I die.
I like it.
And I don't mind saying for the first time on the air, my son will be the third Ledford to coach at Independence. Buster Ledford, our cousin, started that program. I coach there. And now Patrick and somebody suggested that they need to get a picture of the three of us. And I'm mighty proud that Patrick's going to be part of that baseball tradition at Independence and be working over there. Coach, I do want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I promise you, we're going to force you back on this show during the middle of the season so that we can talk about the progress. He is head coach Joe Evans in his first year as the head coach at Independence High School, one of the great schools. Coach Ricky and I wish you the very best, and we look forward to having you back on this show not too far down the road.
Hey, any time. All you gotta do is give me a call. I don't mind talking, obviously.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great season.
Enjoy the clinic. Well, Ricky, sounds like Independence has got a chance to mix it up. Those are some pretty good sounding, pretty good looking kids being described by their head coach, who's obviously excited about that. And I don't care who you are anywhere in the state, if you see that green, that gold helmet with that big eye, you're in for a fight. Well, Coach, we've got 2 minutes left. You got 90 seconds of that. Bring us up to speed on what sports news matters to Ricky.
Okay, we want to start by saying Phil Mickelson didn't choke this past weekend. He won the the Open Championship. I was taken back. I did a little reading today. I was taken back by the college rule change. Looked like they're kind of going in the direction as the NFL of leading on defense with your helmet. There'll be an automatic suspension. I think that is.
Okay, we're down to 1 minute, Coach. I thought we had a little bit more time.
I think that is the safest way to go. I see where WCCB-TV will be televising all 49ers home football games. Excellent.
That's good news.
Excellent. So the days that we can't get out there, we can at least go in my office and watch it on TV.
Absolutely.
I'm still looking at this lawsuit between EA Sports and the college players. If you're not familiar with it, they use the likeness of these college athletes and put them on video games and made millions without their consent, just make money off of them. And so those kids are suing, trying to get their hands on some of that money. I want to talk about Wake Forest real quickly. Wake Forest got off to a great start last year, and by the end of the season, they were not a good football team. I'm hoping I always pull for Wake when I get a chance to. I'm hoping Wake will turn that around this year. And how
hey,
much
Coach,
more time?
Coach, that's all the time we got tonight. He is Coach Ricky Clark. Our guest tonight was Joe Evans of Independence High School. I'm Coach Joe Ledford. We will not be with you next week. We'll see you 2 weeks on WDCU. Coach Ricky Clark, Coach Joe Ledford, we're gone.